Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. I am Greg Crawford. I host the show each week, sometimes with my good partner, Richard Lucas, but Richard is a wimp, and he takes the summers off. I don't know what he's doing. You know, he's probably lifting weights or fishing or something, because, you know, he'll be back soon, but we're having a good time when he's gone. Maybe we won't even bring him back, but once again, I am Greg Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at GregoryCrawfordSports.wordpress.com. But in Richard's absence, we love to bring on talented guests in the basketball world and people we enjoy working with, and they do a good job on this. This Kip Iona tonight is our special guest, and he is the head men's coach at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, a member of the Northwest Conference. And Kip, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing great, Greg. Always be great to be on with you.
Oh, you do a terrific job. We're going to have you on all the time. We love it. I love working with you, and I know you do a tremendous job as the coach down there. And Kip, I'm going to start you right out with an interesting question. Your role as the men's coach at Willamette University, and you have big responsibility in a lot of areas, what do you feel yourself is your number one responsibility being the head men's basketball coach at Willamette University?
You know, I think that is a great question to lead off with. And I think it's something that, you know, if you talk to the casual person or the casual basketball fan, they might assume, you know, that our number one job is coaching the team, you know, on the floor with the scheme and the X's and O's, shooting, passing, rebounding. But really, you know, the more I do this job, the more I realize that's like 20%, if we're lucky, of our day. My number one job here at Willamette is guiding these young guys into becoming great men. You know, that's what this program did for me. That's what Hall of Fame coach Cordy James did for me. You know, I took a kid from Montana who traded the snow for the rain, had a bad haircut, no umbrella, first day of classes at Willamette. And, you know, here I am so many years later as the head coach of that same institution. And that's what I try to do for our guys, is set up a framework and run the program so that it's designed to grow them in all areas of their maturation process, whether that's on the court, in the classroom, as people, as men, you know, everything from how they conduct themselves in a restaurant or on a plane trip all the way down to how we're going to run screen roll. So, you know, like I said, my number one concern is that when I get this 18-year-old kid who their parents have done a great job with, and they wouldn't be Willamette students in the first place, but, you know, I've been 18 before, thought I knew the world, and there's a lot more to be taught and a lot more to show them, and that's what my staff and I try to do.
Very good. You know, Kip, and on your way to being an outstanding coach and so well-respected by your peers, and that's not a statement to pump up, Kip. That's a factual statement, because I talk to more people in the basketball world than anybody. But Kip, what's the one thing – and I know good coaches are never stop learning, but to this date, what's the one thing that's had the biggest impact on you that's made you a better coach? Maybe one thing.
You know, I think it's been learning how to be very purposeful in all aspects of what I do. You know, I think coming in, I thought I was a pretty organized person. You know, I taught 7 years of high school at McKay High School. I was Gordy's assistant, and I thought I was pretty organized and detailed. But once you get put in charge of a program, you know, there's a lot more than just making a practice plan for the day. Whether that's, you know, what are we doing with our captains? What's our leadership program for our captains? What's the calendar look like for our community give back? What's our timeline looking like for our character development program? Just me realizing how much purpose and intent has to be put behind anything I put out there for our team or on behalf of our team, I think that's really helped me focus in and prioritize my day. And I think that's really where I've grown the most, but obviously I have a ton of work to do. My wife will tell you, when I try to claim organization, she'll tell you there's a lot more growth that can be done there too. So, but I think you're right. I think it's number one, recognizing that you don't know it all. Number two, finding good people and smart people that to go ask, and then making sure that everything in your day, every action you're taking, there's a plan and a process behind it. That's really helped me out.
You know, I think people would be interested, you know, maybe Mike Krzyzewski when his bosses at Duke talk to him, they're talking about, well, how did you beat Virginia last night, you know, or what are you going to do at practice today? On the Division III level, it's a little different. I mean, winning is still important, but when your bosses talk to you, what do they talk about that you can reveal?
Well, I think I've been very lucky to work for some people that had their priorities in line, whether it was Mark Pajeski, who hired me and gave me a shot as a 29-year-old, or David Rigsby, who just ended his run as our AD, and now Val Cleary. You know, I think they're all very competitive people, like you said, and all of us want to win. You know, there's a scoreboard up there for a reason, but the thing they've always impressed upon me and allowed me to do with my program is exactly what I talked about with your first question, is what are we doing for the team? What are we doing for their development in all areas? Are we making sure that we're covering our boundaries? Are we using the resources we have, which is budget? You know, Recovery Coach in America will tell you about budget, and that's part of your day. Is the budget, are we using it for things that matter to their development? Are we scheduling in a way that not only makes us competitive and gives us a great chance at certain games and situations, but is it conducive to them being successful in the classroom? Are you taking four road trips in the span of a month and they're missing quizzes all and papers? So I've been lucky enough to work for three people, and Val's another great example of that really want to make sure that everything we're doing is developing our kids, ultimately to be great people, but also are we on the right path to making sure their experience is awesome? And that happens with winning. You know, there's a lot of great things we can do, but if that scoreboard's continually the wrong way, you know, the experiences can only be taken so far. So I've been lucky enough to work for people, and like I said, got a new fantastic boss in Val Cleary that they want to make sure we're going in those directions.
Kip, overall, your intelligence factor is very high. As I've said, you're an outstanding basketball coach. What's your take on, and you're at a school that's very competitive, that's produced so many top professionals in the business world, lawyers, judges, you name it, Willamette is famous around the country. What's your take? Are we losing a little of our competitive edge in this country? I mean, the kind of everybody gets a trophy,
right,
which I think can be debated by over. What's your take on that?
Oh, I think there's something to be said for it, for sure. You know, I think there's something, and I don't want to you know, spray paint an entire generation this way or that way, but I do think there's been a little bit of a softening of expectations. You know, whether that's in our campers, when, you know, we put out X amount of trophies, the kids are quick to count and say, hey, coach, that's not enough for everybody. But that leads us into a nice exercise and talk about, yeah, there's not. Because everyone did a great job finishing camp, absolutely, but that was the expectation. You know, you don't get an award for meeting the expectation. You get an award for exceeding it. And I think that's something we got to talk to our guys about as well. Sometimes we can work our tail off, but you know what? Whitworth or LC or UPS, they worked their tail off too, and they might have done it a little better, and the scoreboard says they won. You know, so we got to go back and take it up a notch. So I think there's something to be said for with, like, the James Harrison thing that just came out. We took the participation trophies and gave them back. There's some lessons I've had to teach my three young ones about. You got to go above and beyond to get that recognition. And that's a hard thing to teach, but I think it'll serve people, you know, whether it's little kids all the way up through my players, it'll serve them better when they get done with sports and head off into, like you said, professional lives, where the expectations have to not only be met but exceeded to get where you want to go.
You know, Kip, when I went to Linfield, of course, Ted Wilson was the basketball coach, pretty famous in this state. And you know, it was a powerhouse program, no question. I'm not saying that that's factual. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, what was the most amazing thing about being at Linfield during that tenure? And I said, the most amazing thing was that probably 80% of the professors in the school would be at every basketball game. Do professors talk to you a lot about the program at Willamette and have an interest are they willing to step up and say, hey, I want John Smith to be doing a little better job in my classroom? Does that take place still?
You know, I think that's a two-way street. You know, I absolutely, like you're mentioning, if it was 80% at our games, I would be amazed. But that's not necessarily all on the faculty for not being there. I think that's some of it on us as an athletic department, reaching out and making sure they know the value in being there. You know, at Willamette, Coach Peg Swadner, who works with me, she's the women's head coach, great coach. She helped start, helped spearhead with Leslie Shevlin, our women's coach, a faculty liaison program where one of the faculty members was embedded with a team for a year, whether that's at team dinners or come on road trips, sit on a bench, come to a pregame meal, come do a halftime speech, just to get the professors to see what their students were doing off the court. And, you know, at the same time, we would like to go see, make sure our kids are making sure they understand what a faculty member is going through. But I think it's a two-way street, and we've got to reach out and make sure we're showing the value of that participation. And then once they get there, hopefully we can continue that relationship. I know for myself at Willamette, we've had a ton of success on the hoop side because we have a noon hoop segment Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and there's a ton of active play noon hoops with my staff and I every Monday and Wednesday. So it's been a great way for me to bridge, you know, some communication gaps, find out who's in whose class, who's doing well, who's not, tell them about camps, tell them about games coming up. And so just that little connection, it has been big for me. But I really like the faculty liaison plan that we've developed. And there's some more outreach we're going to do this year as a department towards those faculty and those professors.
And in fairness to the question, I want to make a point here in that I don't think that percentage is at Linfield or any school nowadays. I think that's dropped dramatically.
Right. No, I agree.
Just because people's lives have changed. Yeah. And everything. But it was very unique. You know, and you know, everybody wants to be associated with the winner, Kip.
Mm-hmm. No, very true. No, and that's, you know, we tell our guys all the time, you want Salem to come see us, there better be a reason. You know, we better be great people doing great things in the community. And then when they do come in the doors at Cone Fieldhouse, we better put on a show. So those absolutely, those are things that we need to get going on as well.
I know you're competitive. That's what makes you an outstanding basketball coach. You don't want to settle for just a playoff spot. You want a championship. And last year you made the playoffs. I asked you this before, but I think it's worth repeating. The last time you're on, how do you parlay that playoff spot towards a championship?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've already started that process. You know, I think it's something we're reminding our kids daily that we haven't accomplished what the end result can be. You know, I think it's fun to look back and say, hey, that was a great moment in time, but that's the problem. It was just one. You know, you look at Whitworth, who we're chasing, they've been doing it for a decade. That's sustained excellence. That's a target. You know, it's Whitman that's been a runner-up however many years out of the last 10 that they've done it. UPS, Coach Lunt, how many years they've made the tournament. So for us, it just the nature of saying, hey, wasn't that awesome the one time we made it? That in and of itself is a motivating factor to make sure it's not just one mention. So there's a ton of stuff we do, whether it's little notes we leave in their locker, whether it's a picture we might flash up before we hit the floor for practice of the score of that last game against Whitworth. Just little reminders done and things we need to do to make sure we have a chance to repeat that over and over and over.
Kip, in your tenure at Willamette as a player, as an assistant coach, which I think is fabulous, I think that's the dream to coach at your alma mater and be a head coach now that you are. What's been the biggest change in recruiting, such a big part of the game? Changed the recruiting game?
You know, I think for us, the big thing is when we go out and see a player, whether that's live in the high school season, live in AAU, or on film, you know, almost immediately after we say, okay, we like the skill set, and they meet X amount of points of emphasis that we have as a player, we have to jump not only just to GPA, SAT score, we've got to jump into family economic situation, how many kids are in college in the family, that it's such a the price tag for a place like ours is so steep that we've got to do a lot of filtering that we didn't have to do maybe a decade ago, whether it was because it was cheaper or there's a different financial aid structure in place. There's some more filtering we have to do on the front end to make sure when we go after a kid and a family that it's a realistic place that Willamette for them to be. Not only can they succeed on the court, but more importantly, can they make it in the classroom and can we make sure it's worth the investment the family needs to make? So I think that part has changed, and I think obviously secondly it has to be AAU. You know, there's the ratio of games we see in the summer or films we get from summer travel teams versus high school live action or high school games. I mean, it's so much in favor of the summertime, and the amount of time you have to pay attention to summer teams is a big difference. Even from 5 years ago, when it was still dominant, now it's through the roof now.
Skip, is maybe the toughest thing in recruiting, you know, I heard Mike Bellotti say this one time, and I always had a lot of respect for that guy, the former football coach at Oregon, but, you know, the toughest thing I have to do is tell parents that, no, your son and is not good enough to play at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that's kind of tough at times.
Well, yeah, and I think there's two sides to that sword in D3. I think D3 sometimes gets a stigma that because there's no athletic scholarships, our players aren't talented or very capable on the court, and that's just not the case. You know that from seeing our league. I mean, the players we all have are all state, all league. I mean, they can play. So sometimes letting people know that, yes, this is Division III, but no, your kid may still not be able to compete at this level, at the level you think he can. But also sometimes, yes, it's a great fit on the court. Yes, you guys love the school. We are very interested in your student. However, the financial is just not doable. That part is a very hard conversation because parents, you know, every mom and dad in the country wants to make sure their son or daughter goes where they want to, where they're excited about. So that part is very difficult to have to let them know or hear from them that they just can't do it financially. You know, as a D3 coach, there's nothing you can do about that. So that part is also very hard.
And I'll tell everybody out there listening, it didn't involve Kip's team, but I'll tell you how good the basketball is in Northwest Conference. All you got to do is take this into account. Last year in a game I watched, the blue ball was loose on the floor, and they weren't fighting or punching or anything, but all 10 players were in the pile to get that ball.
Yep.
So that's pretty significant.
Oh, and you're totally right. When people step out on the floor in this conference, it means something. At every school, every player, and I think that's all you can ask for as a coach and even as a fan is when I go to this environment, when I go to this game, do these people care about what they're doing out there? Man, our league is phenomenal in that regard, and I'm very lucky to be a part of it.
Kip, I don't want to get myself in trouble again because I think we've had you on now the fifth time. You're always fabulous, but tell people how they can get a hold of you because I get raked over the coals on that, and I apologize.
No, don't worry about it. You got me on enough. That's awesome. I can't complain. You know, the quickest way, you know, we got a brand-new website at Willamette that just got rolled out two weeks ago now. So obviously all my office phone number, my email, which I answer constantly because it's always going off. We're not Division I, so there's not a secretary reading my emails and filtering it. You can get a hold of me quickly there. But also on Twitter, at Coach Ione, Ione. Very active on there. Obviously, we love retweeting and seeing what you're talking about. And I think social media is great. I think it's done amazing things for me as far as following smart coaches, following basketball newsletters, information, drills. You know, I think social media is, if you use it the right way, you can really expand and improve yourself, no matter what your profession, but especially in coaching. So those are the quickest methods of getting a hold of me. And I love talking hoops with whoever can listen. And feel free.
I like that. I like that very much. Kip, since they kept track in Division I and in 1963 it started, free throw shooting, that nationwide percentage in Division I, at least in men's, and I'm sure it's pretty close in Division III, has never been above 70%. How do you look at free throw shooting? What do you do in practice to make people better? And I think still in this day, it's not a sexy part of the game. So, you know, people don't
but
look at
it.
But
cost you,
it wins
you?
Or loses. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How do you look
you know,
at
I,
it?
I think there's, you know, what we've tried to do is get the repetitions, the sheer volume that you need to take to be good at it. We try to get that done around practice time, whether guys are coming in the morning, lunchtime, post-practice, that's where they do their sheer volume of repetition, whether it's 100 today, 500 for a week, whatever it may be that we've settled in on. But I think in practice what we try to do when we do shoot the free throws is simulate pressure because that's when people miss. You know, they're not missing in the middle of a game that's tied in the first 4 minutes. It's late in the game or after a big run and you either need to continue or end with this free throw. We try to simulate it, whether it's putting the team on the line, you know, traditional, you got a suicide if Jimmy misses or X amount in a row, we got to hit as a team. One person shoots one, we all go through, we got to get the six in a row, whatever it may be. There's so many smart drills out there that just simulate pressure, but also you can get done in about 4 to 5 minute sets. So we try to do that as much in practice. And like I said, the volume for the shooters is going to be done outside of that practice time. But we, what we try to do when talking about just the actual free throw, whatever your routine is, boy, you better stick to it. You know, if you start changing your dribble count, if you start spinning the ball two times instead of the one time you used to do, now you know it's all in your head. Stick with your routine, trust your routine, and just rep it. And we'll get you the pressure reps, you get us the overall reps, and we'll fix the issue.
Yeah, very good. Now, we want to have time for your famous questions, which are really good. You always get one question to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it now, and then I want to ask you another question about the 15-16 team, and I'll be quick with my answer.
Gotcha. No problem. Well, give me your Oregon Hoops, you can even expand it to Northwest Hoops coaches. Who's the Mount Rushmore? Give me three of the best coaches you've seen. Don't have to be active, can be former. Who's the best coaches you've seen?
Well, I would have to say that the best coaches I have seen would be Dick Gray, who was at Benson. John Stillwell, who was at Grant for years, and Sonny Long at Oswego. They all had different styles, but they all coached a lot of Division I players. They were always very tough on officials, but when the game was over, they forgot it for the most part.
Yeah,
and they all had kids that were respectful.
Like, awesome, great names.
Yeah, and a quick, real quick story about John Stillwell. I had refereed a game Roosevelt, and Roosevelt was terrible. Okay, and they were playing at Grant. And Grant won by 1 point in overtime. And it was during finals week, and Stillwell, with the straightest face he could imagine, he goes down, he tells that this is when the Oregon Journal was in existence, or the Oregonian, I guess, and they were covering high school, and he goes, well, you know, you have to understand, every kid on this team was in physics and chemistry exams all week long, so they didn't have a basketball mind. So
yeah.
And I think most people would get the gist of that.
Yeah, right.
How about the 15-16 Bearcats? What do you see? You know, school started.
Yep,
I know it's
yep.
a little early, but tell us about that team you're going to have.
You know, I think I'm very blessed, and I've already noticed the huge difference when you've got veteran leadership that really knows where it's headed. You know, I've got three seniors, Bridger Harlington from the Seattle, Bubba Lucky from Boise, Alex Brown from Clackamas. All three of those guys, this is their second year as captains. They've all been starters. They've all, you know, Bubba's an all-region kid. But they really have a great feel for the team, you know, 1 through 20 on our roster. And they really have a good feel for me. So, you know, a lot of times our captains' meetings, they're guiding me along where we're taking this thing. And I think that bodes well for us. We got a great mix. We've got four starters back, you know, including Brandon McCullough and Nick Copeland that started last year for us as freshmen. And then I think we brought in a good group of kids, you know, rookies to the program that really meshed well with who we got back. So, I think we came back in great shape compared to where we've come back in the past. I think that's an expectation that comes from winning. You need to come back and not try to start all over, but come back at a great launching point. So I'm really excited. I know our staff is excited. We've got so many pieces. The thing we've got that we haven't had in a while is so much depth that, you know, competition just to make a travel team is going to be tough. But I think that makes us better. We can't afford to take days off and practice in this league. And the fact that you're going to have to fight for a 12th plane ticket to go down to Chapman and Laverne to play is going to make us that much better. It makes my life stressful as a coach because there's a lot of good kids that might not see where they want to see right away as far as playing time, but that's good. There's expectations, and we've raised those. We've raised the bar to put on the Cardinal and Gold, and I can't wait to get rolling.
Kip, you mentioned captains at the start of your answer there, which was, you know, you really sum things up well all the time. You know, when I was in high school, and I'm not going to go back to when I was in high school type of thing, but, you know, I graduated from high school in 1968. I'm proud of it. I went to a great school, Cleveland High School. You know, we had 3,000 students, and it was a great education. But the captains of those teams. I was the captain of the golf team at 2 years. I mean, it was a big deal. Is it still a big deal?
I think so. I think that all revolves around your culture. You said as a program, you know, we try to make sure the honor of being a captain is very much in the eyes of the young kids, you know, whether it's their nameplates are in gold instead of cardinal, like everybody else is, you know, whether you I think you have to give them a voice in all team meetings. I don't think it can just be me or a staff person talking. I think you have to have your captains leading a lot of those discussions in team meetings, and then giving your captains freedom to take the team and do things off the floor that you're not a part of, that you're not there. I think that hammers in the importance of that role, and I think it makes kids want to get to that point themselves in their development. And then, like I mentioned, man, I've just noticed such a huge difference having these three captains. For me, not that I didn't have good captains in the past, I think it's their experience having done it already that they've got such a good plan for where they want to take this group and how to do it. It's just really helping me kind of navigate our plan and process for the year.
Kip, I'm going to answer an email question that pertains to you that I got the last time you were on. It's from a Willamette graduate. He's now a lawyer, which is no surprise. You kind of love lawyers. But he wanted to know, and you know, he wasn't being smart. He says, why do you have Kip on your program? You know, it's kind of surprising that you would pay attention to it. And I'm going to respond to him because he said he was going to listen again tonight. And I told him I'd give the response on the air. Is that my feeling is, you know, you just can't, if you're a program, any type of sports program, you can't wring your hands and say the media doesn't cover us. In this new age of media, you've got to take it to the media. You've got to create your own content and see what they do with it. And that's why I do these shows, because I love basketball and I love the small college atmosphere, and the coaches are so dedicated. And that's why I do these shows, because I'm taking this, creating my own media. And I think it's important.
We appreciate it. Oh, absolutely. And like you mentioned in the tweet this past week, there's so many good coaches that are at the lower levels. You know, I appreciate you giving us, all of us, of a platform to talk about what we do and you know, brag about our kids a little bit. And the passion is there, and I know the passion is there for you. So I always appreciate you reaching out. And when it's my turn to come on, you can count on me.
Yes, and you're always there for me, and I appreciate it. Kip, you have a great time. And, as you know, we'll have you back on very shortly again, and we'll be talking Bearcat hoops. And we're getting closer. We're on the cusp.
I know.
We're tipping that ball up.
We are. It's crazy. Absolutely great. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You betcha. That's Kip Iona, the head men's coach at Willamette University. Tremendous person. Does a tremendous job down there. You just have to ask his peers about the job he does, and his former players, which I've talked to many of them, and they really appreciate him, and that says volumes. That's all I need to say. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the Willamette community for supporting this program and tweeting it out and all the other good stuff. And Kip will be back very shortly in the next couple weeks or so. So good night, everyone, and don't forget to make your free throws.